The Supreme Court ended its term with three more big decisions, final decisions this morning. In a 5-4 ruling, the court said lethal injections are not a violation of the Constitution's ban on cruel and unusual punishment. And the court also handed down big rulings on how states can draw up congressional districts and on the Environmental Protection Agency. Emily Bazelon has been watching it all. She's staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. Emily, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
And start with the lethal injection case. This is Glossop v. Gross. Last year, death row inmates argued that the drug midazolam, which was used in three botched executions, was a violation of that constitutional promise of no cruel punishment. Other drugs are not available now. So if the court had agreed with the inmates, they'd effectively be ending lethal injections for now. They didn't agree, though. What did they say?
Well, the majority, and it's by Samuel Alito for the conservatives on the court, argues that because the plaintiffs in this case, the death row inmates, did not identify an alternative means of execution, a different drug, that this kind of lethal injection Oklahoma has been doing has to continue. Essentially, it's an argument that I've never heard before that puts the burden on a death row inmate to say, here's an alternative source for the drug. And that was the basis for the decision.
Well, the Justice Sotomayor in her dissent agreed.
She was very troubled by the notion that a death row inmate should have to identify an alternative means of execution. And she does a very careful reading of the science surrounding this contended drug, midazolam, and is very concerned that it is causing people essentially to be tortured, or at least there's that risk during an execution. Midazolam, we know, renders people unconscious. We don't know whether it continues to maintain the unconscious state. And that is Sotomayor's big concern in her dissent.
Well, at least one well-documented case, we reported on it here, it didn't. I mean, somebody was in terrible pain. But also, she also said that, you know, the condemned doesn't have a duty to pick an instrument. But it sounds like Alito was saying capital punishment itself has to be constitutional, but not the means.
Right. I mean, the state of Oklahoma was in a bind here. To back up for a moment, it used to be that the method of lethal injection the states used relied on sedatives that did not raise the same kinds of questions midazolam raised. And then what happened is it became impossible for the states to obtain those drugs. American manufacturers stopped making them. The European companies didn't want to sell them. And so Alito is essentially siding with the states about this dilemma and saying, look, this is the drug they have left. We're going to let them keep using it.
Yeah. So the liberal bloc was seen as having a defeat in this case, but then a victory maybe in the next. Arizona State Legislature versus Arizona Independent Redistricting. The four liberal justices plus Anthony Kennedy said Arizona voters had the right to create an independent commission to draw lines for congressional districts. This is as opposed to lawmakers. And in the case of lawmakers, it was often seen as them going off and doing it along party lines.
Right. This is the sleeper case of the term, in my view, because it's about political power. There has been a move in some states to try to take redistricting away from politicians, give it to independent line drawers who presumably won't do the same kind of partisan gerrymandering, which has been so polarizing for the political system. And this one, in a decision by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Kennedy is the swing vote here with the liberals. This one comes out in favor of allowing independent bipartisan commissions to continue to draw these district lines.
Yeah. The third decision, the court dealt a blow to the Obama administration's EPA efforts because the court sided with industry groups and 21 Republican-led states in saying that the EPA has to consider the cost of its proposals. What does this mean? Can an industry say, oh, I can't abide by the EPA because it costs too much?
Well, the funny thing about this decision is that there's a strong dissent here on behalf of the liberals and moderates on the court from Justice Kagan. And what she says is the EPA did take the cost of these regulations into account. They simply did so later in the process than the challengers who were run industrial plants wanted them to do. And so this is a funny case in which, in fact, the government does consider cost. Because if you think about it, it is irrational to impose a regulation if it would do a very tiny amount of good and cost an enormous amount of money. And yet the conservative majority is sending this back to the drawing board for the Obama administration to do this cost-benefit analysis early on in the regulatory process.
Yeah. Well, in about a minute we have left, just take a step back, and I know there's going to be a lot of ink spilled over this question, but what would you say about the role that Chief Justice John Roberts played this term?
He played a really interesting role. You know, he's the author of the pro-Obamacare decision, coming down for interpreting laws in terms of their purpose, really a very pragmatic move, and yet playing the role of dissenter in the same-sex marriage case, trying to make an argument that stayed away from any kind of taint of anti-gay prejudice and really depended on the democratic process. And so arguably, in both cases, he's talking about the judiciary playing a relatively deferential, limited role compared to Congress and the president.
Yeah, and as you said, there's going to be volumes written on Roberts and his court, and we'll have you back to talk more about that. Emily Bazelon, staff writer for the New York Times Magazine, a fellow at Yale Law School on today's Supreme Court decisions, the final of this term. Emily, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.